Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Magic, Mayhem, and Murder by Tessa Bryant. Narrated by Rachel LeBlanc. Prologue. Some days, life just decides to kick you in the crotch repeatedly. And for Mallory Thorne, today was one of those days. First, she'd been called in to see her boss because some idiot had complained when she refused to redesign the marketing campaign she and her team had spent 2 months perfecting. Well, he hadn't complained about just that. He'd also been upset because she might have implied that if she changed the marketing materials per his suggestion, then he may as well shutter his business now and save a few months' rent. And, okay, maybe she had gone a smidge too far, but in her defense, Mallory stood 100% behind her team in the campaign they'd worked countless hours, nights, and weekends to create. Her boss, on the other hand, hadn't displayed that same loyalty, which was how Mallory had ended up on the street at 10 a.m. on a Thursday with a box full of her personal belongings and the pressing need to have a glass of wine. Or five. Instead of heading straight to the nearest liquor store, she decided to swing by the apartment, drop off the box of office decor, change clothes, and see if she could talk Glenn into helping her drown her sorrows over being fired from the company where she'd been working hard to climb the corporate ladder for years. Glenn, her boyfriend of 14 months, was an aspiring screenwriter by day and bartender by night. So she'd hoped he would be up to partake in the most ancient of author hobbies by day drinking with her. He'd been asleep when she left for work that morning, but she'd expected him to be at his desk typing away when she got back home. Instead, she'd found him exactly where she'd left him, between the sheets. Only much to her dismay, he hadn't been alone. Mallory had gotten an eyeful of Izzy, the annoying neighbor she and Glenn often joked was trying to poison them with her terrible baked goods. It seemed Izzy had abandoned the idea that the way to a man's heart was through his stomach and gone with the tried and true horizontal mambo instead. Seeing the woman in her bed with her boyfriend, Mallory's anger had gotten the better of her, and she'd started throwing anything and everything she could get her hands on at the no-good cheating pair. As it turned out, Izzy's basket of baked goods made for pretty good projectiles, since they were as tough as baseball leather. The bodacious blonde had yelped in surprise when a hurled honey bun hit her squarely in the backside. As soon as she'd seen Mallory, her eyes had gone wide, and she'd grabbed for her clothes. She'd rushed past Mallory without so much as a word, leaving Glenn alone and naked, huddled in a ball to defend himself against the onslaught of breakfast pastries. By the time Mallory ran out of things to throw, her anger had abandoned her, and a sense of inevitability had taken over. She should have seen it coming. She and Glenn had never been endgame, and they both knew it. She wasn't surprised that he had cheated, even if his choice of partner made her question his taste, both literally and figuratively. She hadn't even cried as Glenn pulled himself together enough to remind her that it was his name on the lease, not hers. With a sigh of resignation, she'd done the only thing she could and started packing her bags. As she threw her things into a suitcase, Glenn offered up a half-hearted apology, followed by a dozen excuses that all pinned the blame for his skeevy behavior on her. She worked too much. She didn't give him enough attention. He'd always had the feeling she was keeping secrets from him. She'd ignored all of his excuses, ignored him, and walked away without looking back. And so, before the clock had even struck noon, Mallory found herself back on the sidewalk with as many of her belongings as she could fit into two large suitcases and the duffel bag thrown over her shoulder, wondering how this day could possibly get any worse. And then, as if she had tested fate by even thinking such a thing, her phone had started to ring. It had been so long since her younger sister had called her that at first Mallory had only stared at the name flashing on the screen. That had been the moment she knew the mythical they were right. Bad things always came in threes. Since Hope only ever called her on her birthday and holidays, and since it was neither, Mallory had picked up with more than a little trepidation. Her sister hadn't minced words. She hadn't sugarcoated it. She'd called to tell Mallory that their grandmother had been murdered and she needed to come home. Mallory had stood utterly still as the busy city continued to swirl around her. As she had listened to Hope explain what had happened, she'd known that despite all the times she'd said she would never return to her small hometown, that she had no other choice now. She had to return to her hometown. She told her sister she would be there as soon as she could, hung up the phone, and hailed a cab to take her to the airport. She'd spent a large chunk of her savings account on a first-class seat, the only opening on the next plane leaving for Texas. And then she'd waited and waited and waited some more, all the while thinking of her beloved Nana being gone from the world without her even having a chance to say goodbye. It was only once she was safely ensconced in her very expensive but very comfortable seat on the plane that she finally let herself truly feel the pain of her loss. Not the loss of her job, not the loss of her boyfriend, not the loss of the life she had dreamed of in the big city, the one she had worked so hard to make happen, the same life that had so recently crumbled beneath her feet. No. Her heart ached only for the hole that losing Nana left inside of her. The woman who had raised her, the woman who had taught her to be strong and independent and to go after her dreams, the same woman who had told her that if she wanted to leave Tempest, Texas, then she should go and never come back. Mallory had taken the words to heart and done just that. She'd left and she'd stayed gone until now. What would Nana have thought if she'd known Mallory would return because of her? She'd probably have told her she was being silly because there was nothing to be gained from a dead woman, certainly not the approval Mallory had always craved. But it didn't matter anymore what Nana would have thought of her returning home with nothing to show for her life out in the real world, because Nana was dead. Someone had killed her. Hope's words didn't make any sense to Mallory. They were from a small town, a safe town. Mallory didn't remember people even locking their doors back when she'd been a kid. Everyone knew everyone in a place like Tempest, and crime was mostly attributed to kids playing pranks or the occasional car accident. Usually when one of the old ladies in Nana's knitting circle decided to get behind the wheel even though they could barely see over the dash. There was no such thing as violent crime in the small town that Mallory had left behind, and she couldn't imagine things had changed so much that murder was somehow a regular occurrence these days. Even if it was, who would want to hurt Nana? She had been a sweet old lady with a sassy streak. She'd been beloved by all who had crossed her path. She volunteered for every town event and always won the pumpkin pie baking contest at the fair every fall. She'd been a prominent figure in their town, a business owner and a lifelong resident. Everyone knew her and everyone had loved her. Only, was it possible that had changed in Mallory's absence? She didn't have any answers, only questions heaped upon questions, but she made a promise to herself and to her memories of Nana right then and there. Since she was already breaking Nana's rules by going back home, she wouldn't fly in for the funeral and fly right back out again. She was going home, to Tempest, Texas, and this time she wasn't leaving until she had the answer she so desperately needed. Chapter 1. Someone once said that the only constant in life is change, but clearly that person never lived in a small town because absolutely nothing about Tempest, Texas had changed in the 15 years since Mallory Thorne drove away, without so much as a second glance in her rearview mirror. Over the years, whenever she had allowed herself to think of the place where she'd grown up, she had seen the picturesque park in Town Square. The narrow one-way roads on either side built long before the invention of modern monster SUVs, and the old red brick buildings that lined the streets with small boutiques and stores perfect for an afternoon stroll or a Saturday spent window shopping. She had remembered the way the Green Door Diner always smelled of sweet maple syrup no matter the time of day, and the sound her sneakers made on the always sticky floor of the Twin Star Theater. She had smiled at memories of stale popcorn fights in the bleachers at Friday night football games and warmed with thoughts of stolen moments with the captain of the team in the backseat of an old Chevy truck parked behind the gymnasium long after practice had ended and the moon hung heavy overhead. For so long, all she'd had of this place were her memories, and somewhere along the way, she'd gotten the idea into her head that she had romanticized her childhood, polishing it up until it was the stuff of TV sitcom perfection. But as the bus pulled away from the curb, leaving her on a street corner in the middle of Tempest, Texas, her heart ached at the familiarity of everything around her. The town was exactly the same as it had been when she had packed up her grandmother's old VW bug and sped out of town towards all the big dreams this little town couldn't offer her. It had taken her 4 hours by plane, a 20-minute cab ride to the nearest bus station, another 2 hours on a Greyhound, 3 route changes, and more stops and starts than she could count. But finally, she was home. Mallory took a deep breath of the fresh night air and was immediately hit with a splitting headache. She winced and rubbed at her eyes when her vision went fuzzy. It felt as if the whole world was tipping, and she grabbed for the street lamp to keep herself upright. She closed her eyes and focused on taking short, shallow breaths until the bout of dizziness passed, and when she opened her eyes again, she blinked in confusion. The town in front of her now wasn't the same one she'd seen when she stepped off the bus. It wasn't the one from all her memories. Or rather, it was, but it was also different. The buildings, park, and streets were the same. The structure of the place was intact, but beneath her surface memories, there was something else that flashed before her eyes now. Instead of a sign above the clinic across the street telling people to give blood, it now read that blood was available inside and on sale. Her eyes swung towards the park where she'd already thought it was strange for children to be playing after dark, but now, instead of a little boy on the swings, she saw a ghostly specter hovering. Meanwhile, the other kid she'd noticed sitting in the sandbox had transformed into hairy, dog-like creatures that pawed at the sand, sending it flying into the air as they howled with laughter. Mallory squinted at the playground and the images realigned again, showing her a normal little boy on the swing set and a set of twins, a boy and a girl, digging in the sandbox with rakes and shovels. She glanced back at the clinic, but the sign again just told visitors to come inside to give blood. She shook her head, trying to rid herself of the icy sensation that slithered down her spine. She put the back of her hand to her forehead, checking for fever, but this was Texas, and she was sweating despite the cool breeze blowing through the dark night. She swallowed hard and grabbed hold of her suitcases, hitching her bag up higher on her back and deciding that she needed to get something to eat before she trekked over to her grandmother's house. For some reason, she had thought that her sister might actually be here waiting for her when she arrived. She'd messaged Hope throughout the day to update her sister on her travels and ask if the police had caught the person responsible for their grandmother's death. The only responses she'd gotten in return were short and succinct. Okay. Followed by, no. Of course, Hope hadn't dropped everything to meet her at the bus stop. Her sister had probably forgotten all about her already. That was how it had been between them ever since Mallory left Tempest. Whenever she'd called to check on Hope, she'd felt like she was bothering her, taking her away from her real life. The times when Hope had called her, she'd gotten the impression their grandmother was standing over her, forcing the interaction. How could she have possibly thought that Hope would meet her with open arms and take her to dinner? She was an idiot. Her stomach growled and she fought off another dizzy spell. A hungry idiot. That explained the sudden sick feeling in her gut, she decided. She needed food. She couldn't remember the last time she'd eaten, and it had been a long day. Had she even stopped for her usual muffin and coffee on her way into work that morning? She couldn't be sure. It felt like a lifetime ago that she'd turned off her alarm clock and carefully slipped out of bed, making sure not to wake Glenn as she got ready for a big day at the office. The whole morning felt like it had happened to someone else, but she supposed that was normal after the day she'd had. She'd been hit with loss after loss, and now she was back in a place she'd sworn she would never return to, about to face a sister she was fairly certain didn't like her all that much, and a town full of people she'd left behind without sparing them so much as a backwards glance. Before she could do any of that, though, she needed food, and then sleep. She was certain she could find the strength to face everyone and everything else in the morning. Slowly, she pushed her luggage along in front of her as she made her way down the sidewalk. Most of the businesses on Main Street were dark and closed up for the night, which didn't surprise her. Tempest, despite its name, had always been the kind of small town that shut down early. Most people hurried home to have dinner with their families or to pick up kids from football practice and dance lessons. She noted that the pharmacy was still in the same spot and wished that it was open 24/7 like the ones in the city. She could really use some ibuprofen for her head. It was aching now, and the dizziness kept coming and going. Spots of floating light drifted across the sidewalk in front of her, but she blinked and they were gone again. Was the headache messing with her vision? Seeing spots was a symptom of a migraine, right? She told herself that's all it was, a migraine brought on by lack of sustenance and stress. But the weird vision of the kids on the playground had unsettled her. Mallory rubbed at her eyes, but continued towards the only building still lit up at this late hour. If memory served her, she thought it was probably Sylvie's Saloon, which had been the only bar, pub, and dance hall in town back when she was in high school. During the day, Sylvie had served up sandwiches and sodas to the younger crowd. But Mallory had never been inside after dark, when legend said the alcohol flowed freely, the music was thumping, and you could always find a reason for a good time. Mallory paused outside the big red doors and tilted her head in confusion. It was strange that she couldn't hear so much as a note of music or conversation happening inside the bar. She momentarily wondered if the place had closed early and someone had forgotten to turn off all the lights before going home. She frowned, but reached for the door handle just to check if it was locked up, but as she did, the door swung outwards and a blast of sound hit her so hard she swayed on her feet. Her ears rang with the sudden commotion, and she grabbed for her head again as the world slipped and slid sideways. The couple that had pushed out the door stared at her, and she flinched away from their red-eyed gazes. The man's mouth tilted into a sneer that might have been a smile on someone friendlier, but Mallory caught a glimpse of sharp canines, and her heart raced as fear pumped through her veins. Were those fangs? The woman said something to her partner, and he snorted with laughter before they continued on, leaving Mallory to catch the door on its backslide or get left outside alone with them. She snatched a hand forward and grabbed the door, rushing inside so fast in her panic that she ran directly into something that felt like a stone statue. She glanced up and whimpered when her vision tilted again. The man she'd slammed into flashed her a fang-filled smile, too. This wasn't happening. It wasn't. There was no way this was real. Was she losing her mind? Was it the stress of a long day finally catching up with her? Lack of food and water? Or was it something else? It wasn't Halloween for another month, but maybe there was some sort of costume contest going on, or...
Hey, are you okay?
The big guy with fangs reached for her arm and his brows pulled together when she stumbled back from him. She ran into someone else behind her and spun around to apologize, only to come face to face with a man with golden eyes and black horns protruding from his head. She stared in horror, noting the way they curled in on themselves like those of a ram. Mallory squeezed her eyes shut and shook her head, trying to dispel the panic that was trying to seize up inside her. When she opened her eyes again, the man was only wearing a fedora and looking at her with worried brown eyes.
Ma'am?
He started to reach a hand out to her, but she jolted away from him. What was happening to her? What was going on? Had she simply fallen asleep on the bus? Was this all a dream? A nightmare? Or was it something more sinister? Her mother had died young from a brain aneurysm. It was the reason Nana had raised Mallory and her sister. Was something like that hereditary? Why had she never looked that up or wondered about it?
Mayum. The man with horns was beside her again, reaching for her arm. Miss, you okay?
The big guy with fangs was there too, and they were closing in on her. Stop it! Get away from me! Stay away! She screamed, backpedaling towards the door, tripping over one of her suitcases and losing her balance. She was about to faceplant on the concrete floor when a strong arm wrapped itself around her waist, stopping her tumble to the ground and putting her back on her feet. On instinct, she tried to jerk free of whoever had grabbed her, terrified it was one of the men with fangs or horns. But a soft voice spoke near her ear, and the familiarity of it broke through every ounce of her fear.
Easy now. Easy. Just take a deep breath for me and calm down. You're okay. You're safe. I've got you.
Mallory felt her bottom lip tremble and tears sprang to her eyes before she could blink them away. She hadn't cried all day, but this was somehow too much. Him. Here. Now. When nothing else made sense, completely undid her. Slowly, she did as he told her, taking deep breaths. She let him turn her around to face him. He kept his arm around her waist, holding her steady, which was a good thing since her legs turned to jelly at the sight of him.
Luke?
She trembled, wiping at her face. She could see well enough through the tears to see the shock that widened his hazel gold-flecked eyes. This Luke was older than the boy she remembered, but then again, she was older too. In the place of the teenage heartthrob she'd crushed on hard was a grown man with crinkles at the corners of his eyes. A well-trimmed beard had replaced his clean-cut look, and his hair was longer, falling over his forehead as if it was in need of a trim. But no matter how many years passed, she would know that face and that voice anywhere.
Mal?
He all but gasped, and she gave a jerky nod.
My God, Mal.
She threw herself against his chest, burying her face in the coarse fabric of his shirt, so happy to finally find someone she knew, someone safe. Strong arms wrapped around her, and she sank into his embrace. He smelled the same as she remembered, woodsy, with a bite of something sharper that she'd never been able to name. She rubbed her face against his chest, trying to burrow into the familiarity of him, as he stroked her back and spoke soft, soothing words of comfort. She had no idea how long they stood there like that, no clue how many tears she cried, or how many times he promised her that it was all going to be okay. She wasn't sure how many times he asked her what she was doing back, or how many times she shook her head, unable to answer with words. But eventually, it was another familiar voice amidst the crowd that caused her to raise her head.
Well, hellmouths and hauntings, I should have known. Even 15 years later, I go looking for Mal, and there you are, big brother. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Don't start.
Luke growled at his sister, loosening his hold as Mallory looked up to find her oldest friend in the world standing in the doorway of the bar.
Ruby?
She started crying again at the sight of her childhood best friend, and then her gaze drifted to the woman standing next to her friend. Her sobs got stuck in her chest and she shuddered.
Hope!
It was her sister, all grown up. She had changed so much. They had all changed so much. In her head, she'd been imagining her old friends as teenagers still, but of course they weren't any more ageless than she was. It had been 15 years, and how was that even possible? How had she never come home to visit in all that time? Never called and invited them to come see her in the city? She had missed them so much, but she didn't realize it until right at that moment.
What's wrong with her?
Ruby frowned as Mallory cried harder, thinking of all the years she'd missed out on with these people she had loved.
What did you do to her?
I didn't do anything. I found her like this. She was freaking out, screaming about monsters.
Oh, goddess.
Hope stepped forward quickly.
It's Nana's spell. It's fading faster than I thought it would. She must be seeing the real Tempest through the veil Nana cast when she left town.
Well, do something.
Luke snapped.
I don't know if... She must think she's losing her mind, Hope. You have to do something. You're the only one here with magic, Ruby insisted. Mallory had no idea what they were talking about. Veils? Spells? Magic? This had to be a dream. It just had to be. None of those things were real. She knew that much. Either her hallucinations had spread and her sister and oldest friends in the world were sharing them, or it was all a dream. So she decided it had to be the latter, and that, at least, helped her to take another deep breath and force air into her lungs. Hope stepped forward and raised her hand.
I'm so sorry, Mal. I thought we'd have more time.
You didn't pick me up at the bus stop, she accused through a round of tear-soaked hiccups.
Your bus was early, but never mind that.
Hope stroked her hair off her face, a pity in her eyes that Mallory couldn't understand.
I'll explain everything later. Right now, sleep.
Her sister did something with her hand, traced a symbol or a letter in the air. She touched Mallory's forehead, and just like that, the world around her began to fade. As the world started to slip away, Mallory marveled at the realization that her sister did have magic. Her sister was a witch. She'd just cast a spell on her. She'd put her to sleep just by saying the word and making a sign with her hand. Her little sister was powerful, and that made Mallory proud. Proud and so very, very sleepy. Wait, did that mean she was a witch, too? Her brain tried to fight against the darkness that was rapidly encroaching. She had so many more questions and needed so many more answers. But her mind lost the battle with the magic, and a deep and comforting sleep overtook her. Chapter 2. Mallory slowly came awake, blinking at the harsh sunlight filtering in through the curtains, and then blinking again as she tried to figure out where she was. This place, with its lace curtains and wood-paneled walls, definitely wasn't her apartment in the city. Then, as if the thought had been a cattle prod to her behind, she jerked upright as memories of the day before flooded through her. She didn't have an apartment in the city anymore because she'd caught Glenn in bed with their neighbor. She didn't have a job in the city because she'd been fired. And worst of all, she'd spent most of yesterday on planes and buses making her way home to Tempest, Texas for the first time in 15 years because Hope had called to tell her that their grandmother had been murdered. Murdered? Nana was dead. Nana was gone and Mallory was back in Tempest, or what could be a parallel universe. This was the apartment over the garage at Nana's house. Once upon a time, way back when, she'd gotten mad at Nana and said she was moving out here. It hadn't lasted long because she couldn't cook for herself back then, but judging from the way the little apartment looked now, she could only assume this was where her sister had been living. Her vision swam with memories she couldn't quite place, and she swallowed down a roiling sense of nausea as her eyes settled on her sister. Hope was sitting on the edge of a coffee table just in front of her, and she looked fresh as a daisy, which annoyed Mallory for all kinds of sisterly reasons she couldn't quite put a finger on while her brain felt like it had been dropped in a blender and someone hit frappe. Hope's pale blonde hair was braided into a thick strand that rested over her shoulder. She wore the lightest trace of makeup, a dab of lipstick and mascara, but her skin with its natural array of freckles over the bridge of her nose was as flawless as it had been the last time Mallory saw her before she left town. Almost 30, and nary a wrinkle in sight for her beautiful little sister. Figured. Hope had gotten all the good genes that skipped right over Mallory. Her hair was pale blonde, while Mallory's was a natural dirty blonde-brown mix when she didn't have it professionally highlighted. Hope was thin as a willow, while Mallory was all curves. Hope had also inherited their mother and grandmother's beautiful bright blue eyes, while Mallory's were a jade green that nobody in the family had ever been able to place. She was tall and full-figured, while all the other women in her family were tiny, dainty little things, and it had taken her a long time to come to terms with that and learn to love her body. Yet here she sat across from her little sister, comparing herself as if not a day had passed since they were teenagers. Hope wore a long burgundy skirt with a short black crop top that Mallory never could have pulled off and at least a dozen necklaces. She also wore gold hoops in her ears, and Mallory was shocked to note a matching diamond stud.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?